This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us Margaret.
Andrew Stevens.
Andrew.
Anwea. Vicky Marie Buchanan.
Alison Milden.
And I'm Stuart Burton.
I was talking about walking up the driveway and seeing your beautiful dahlias in the garden, and it reminded me of my grandparents, and they had dahlias in their garden, and my grandfather recorded stories, because back then it was, everything was done on a little camera and the film going around, and he would get it all set up.
Oh, you had to wind by hand?
Yeah. Okay. And he would get it, not by hand, but it was very, very slow process. Yeah. And we would have to walk around the garden and stop and admire the flowers and the dahlias, and then afterwards he'd edit it all up and put great big happy plinkety plonk 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 music on the background and narrate it. And I just had that lovely little walk down memory lane as I walked up your driveway this morning. I have got those home movies, actually. I've got to get them transferred from home. I think my mother got them transferred from the film to
digital.
A DVD.
Yeah.
And now I've got to get it from a DVD into something
hard
else.
Hard drive or flash.
Would it have been an 8mm film?
Yes.
They're quite common, but very expensive at the day.
Oh, were they?
I guess they are today anyway. Mm. Although some cameras, they do many things.
Yeah. This makes a big difference, though. One, not going back all that long, when you had to have film developed and so on, you'd be very careful as to what photos you'd take.
Mm.
And the same thing with in my area in economics, if you're doing some numerical analysis and you've got to punch in all the numbers and write the programs to do, so you're going to be very careful about what you do. Now with all the computers and digital stuff, you can just do masses of this without much thought at all, and then you end up with all these things that haven't necessarily been thought through or selective, and I don't know how much people actually look at them. If you've got thousands of photos and, you know, 10 photos of the same thing because one might be better than the others, and do you ever go through and filter them out and say, yes, we'll keep these few? Or?
I was doing that the other day. I had over 1,100 on a stick, of course.
Mm.
And it was amazing.
On a memory stick,
And I didn't realise that I'd doubled up and sometimes trebled up these things. You can edit them out.
Yeah, sometimes without knowing, you take the shot and it does the burst sort of thing where you've got a whole series of shots at the same time.
That's it, yes.
Remember, as a child, I had an Instamatic camera. I remember that was a really big thing.
I bet you never took a photo of your food in a restaurant.
No,
share with everybody.
I didn't. No. Never occurred to me. It was for holidays and people snaps, but no, never.
You go on Facebook and you can see what everybody's been eating.
Were they the ones where you took the photo, you know, and it had the photo inside, the paper inside, and
Polaroids.
No. Polaroids.
Those are good, except apparently they fade afterwards.
They do.
So they're good for the instant photo, but then
they're not reliable, and they cost a fortune.
The prints are a problem.
Yeah. And yet, black and white from way back.
Mm.
It's everlasting.
Mm.
Amazing.
No, they were just the straight little,
Instamatic
camera, and then you'd take it into the photographic shop, and they would print it, and a week later you'd go and pick it up, didn't you?
And then you'd have probably just 8 or 12 shots on the roll of film.
20.
Yeah.
So you've got the negatives as well.
And I think that was expensive. Can you still get negatives to photos?
Very difficult.
Code that, but now it's
just difficult.
It is a big shame.
To printed photos, you could probably get from negatives to digital.
It's difficult to get the colour transparencies done as well.
Yeah.
On the slides that we used to get.
Yeah.
And of course they're now defunct mainly because you just don't take them anymore.
No, you don't need them. No.
Everything's electronic, and electronic's good. You can adjust them, and they're very, very good.
Yeah, but it just means that we don't value each one as individually as much, and there's probably not as much care going into the structure and layout and things like that. Mm. Thought going in before you take a shot.
Your cameras need charging, and your your phones need charging.
Very rarely, yeah.
Well, I've still got my digital cameras, have you?
Yes.
It's still very good. No, yeah. We're getting them developed.
Olympus
pen was
something like that.
But I'm going to get them developed. Having
the film ones, you mean? Or printed, digital printed out.
Digital camera, yeah. When they were popular. Yeah.
There's a little card, a DX card.
Yeah. You can get very good ones, but yes. I've got one, but it's much easier just use your phone because that gives good quality anyway. Yeah. And you can immediately sort of forward them to people or include them in posts and all sorts of things. Mm. So I bet there's a lot more photos of food now than there used to be.
Well, because it's instant, isn't it? Because you can, otherwise if you took it in a camera, you'd have to wait until you'd finished the whole film and then it would go in for development and then developing.
And you don't know if it's good or not. When I needed a driver's license and they have the photo on it. Mm. So I went to the place, and so they just took one shot. There you are, okay, here's your driver. And a woman went in and they took a shot, said, "Now here's your photo, is that okay? Do you want me to do another one?" Did several until there was a photo that she liked, but for the guys, it's just boom, there you are, done.
And you're not allowed to smile either.
No, that's passport.
Passport, you're not allowed to smile. Yes. Yep.
They never used to do that in the old days, you put on your best clothes, you did your hair, and you smiled. Yeah, that's looking good.
Oh, but not the but the older photos where you had to stay still for so long. That's the where they all have a really sort of often stern looking face. Mm. In fact, on papers past, there was a newsletter article from years back saying, "What will people think in future? They'll look at these photos, and we know so-and-so is always very lively and smiling and everything, but having to stay still for so long, they look really stern and so on. And then so-and-so was always running all over the place, doesn't stay still long enough in the photo to actually be picked up, so you don't realise that they're there."
Either that or you look like a thug.
I do have a little copy of a photo at home. It's discoloured, but it's me as a baby with my father, my grandmother, and her mother. Mm-hmm. And it's only this little tiny wee snapshot, but it's rather special.
But that idea came to me with Peter Jackson's, when he did the voiceover to the World War. And the thing that stunned me was the condition of the teeth of all these chaps in the war.
Yeah. Mm. And they were the ones who were healthy enough to be called up and so on, because I think there was a big shock when they found so many weren't even fit enough to serve. No, but you think of the big cities in Britain and other parts of the world, and the sort of living conditions and working conditions and dietary stuff for young people. Yeah, I mean, rickets was a big problem going back, 50 years or so, yeah.
Well, the bad illnesses, tuberculosis and polio and all those sort of things, they didn't know how to treat them back then, did they?
Yeah, now it's sort of drug addiction and pills.
Well, they did with polio.
They found out in the end. Yeah.
There was that article.
But that was quite late. That was in the 50s.
Yes, it was. And I think the chap that invented the iron lung, he was English. Mm. There's a photo in that, what's that, Timanua booklet that we looked at the museum just this week. They put out a booklet with very interesting articles, don't they?
Yes.
And they had one about polio and showed that iron lung. Good articles about our dentistry and...
Oh, that's all. There was the medical museum and all the equipment there.
Yes.
And then the question, where are they going to put it? So they've got a lot of stuff in storage at the moment.
It was interesting also,
in the buildings and
some of the diseases and medical things that they found out in the 60s, early 50s and early 60s. I was an apprentice compositor with the government printing office down in Wellington, and I haven't been working up in Manawatu in the printing industry. But they found out that the leads that you were handling, because they were casting on the linotype machines, and the compositors were putting those together in chases.
So this is when you make it on printing. Newspaper, you got all the letters and you put them into blocks for printing.
In the government printing office, we were working on the Hansard. After a while, they this was the first year that I was there, and that was in 1960. And what they did is they said that they found out that compositors were getting lead poisoning, and through the handling of the type. I know there was wooden type, but that was for the bigger posters and things like that. It was mainly the lead which was in the type. And so we had to drink a little cup of liquid. I don't know whether that healed it or it counteracted, I'm not too sure, but this was something that we had to drink once a year. And cleaning out. Actually, it was probably once or twice a year, I'm just not too
probably
sure.
Probably a placebo, and just to kid you, that, so then the government can say, it's not our fault you've gone nutty, you drank this stuff each year.
But that was something that I was never aware of. Otherwise, I probably would have not gone along.
Yeah, but a lot of the areas, there's sort of health issues with those. But one thing they're saying now, they're finding ways to prevent us dying from something so that we just die of something else.
Exactly. So, that's why we're
And the sad thing is, if you die of something worse, then that's not so good.
Eat more tablets than food.
No, that was an interesting time. Also, there was a polio as well.
Polio was quite a big scare. All the schools closing.
And we kept going. But your sister remembered staying at home, which I thought was amazing.
There was quite a few people in their 80s who had polio.
They were wearing those leg irons, weren't they?
Yeah.
I remember seeing a couple of them at school.
No,
at the
I don't
college.
Remember my parents worrying about such things.
That's in it, because there were some there, really, were they?
I was interested mainly in building models and interested in tanks and little aeroplanes and things like that. And I can remember for a birthday present or a Christmas present, I got one of those Airfix
little model
things in the box, and they were
I had loads of those, the planes and the boats and the aircraft carriers.
That's
and
right.
So I thought my son might be interested, but I've no interest. There's one grandson who's interested in some of those, but because you can still buy them.
Yes, you can.
But they're just not so common now.
With the smell of the glue.
You were sniffing it, were you? You were a glue sniffer.
Well, 100 years old. And the timber around us deteriorated a little bit around the windows, you know, with all condensation and things. And the putty is no good, and that's what I've been doing, and renewing that. You don't do that so much these days, because they've got double glazing and aluminium.
There's a lot more sort of low maintenance sort of stuff. But
you wouldn't know it, all the people that might attend. They're just piling every day.
Yes.
They're all getting their whatever they're getting.
Paint and sandpaper and electric tools. And
Well, there are still things to do.
Oh, yes. Bunnings, very popular.
Well, probably everyone accumulating the tools but not using them much.
they want their, water blasters and...
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, you get one, but you might, all sorts of different things like that, and you just use them a few times a year, and you think, well, wouldn't it be a lot more economical if these were sort of just pooled? And then, but then you know they wouldn't be treated very well. Yeah. So you go to get something, you find it's not been cleaned properly, it's not sharp, it's not.
Now these days you've got to have at least 7 or 8 tools, but they've been very clever. Now these days they've got batteries that have changed everything. I mean, you used to have batteries a long time ago, but you buy one battery and it fits all of these.
Yeah,
all of these
but
tools.
The trouble with that, you've got your full set of plug-in power tools, and then suddenly there's the battery tools come out, so you got to dump your plug-in ones.
But the battery tools are actually much heavier.
Yes,
the batteries are very heavy.
And so I remember going to look for something at wherever it might have been or wherever it was, and I was looking at batteries, and the guy said, you should never get a battery tool, you're too small.
Well, it depends on a screwdriver or something.
No, the
the big ones, yeah.
So it said the electric ones are much better
I think that in a lot of ways they're better, as long as you're not actually having to go very far from a power point. Otherwise it can be even sort of that you could get a plug-in electric mower, but then you've got the cable all over the place and you've got to keep watching out for
and
it
weed,
and
it's still there.
What I
use is the blower and the vacuum.
I was just going to say my best piece of equipment is the blower.
I had my gutters cleaned a couple of weeks ago, and the few bits that he had to pull out, but most of it, a very dry day, the leaf blower cleaned the gutters.
Mm.
And so that's something I probably never thought about before.
No, it's a great tool. It's terrific. You can blow the leaves all over the place and put them in a nice pile and then vacuum them all up and then put the mulch on the garden and it keeps the weeds down. It's really good, isn't
it? It's very good.
Yeah.
It is. I put mine in a bucket with water, and then I get the sprue. Mm. When it smells like cow manure, it's ready.
It's good. Liquid gold.
It's put on the tomatoes, and that's my fertilizer.
Banana skins is probably one of the best ways. Cut out banana skins and putting them in water as well, and that makes a really good thing for indoor houseplants, for example.
And tea leaves, very, very good.
Yeah,
but never throw them out.
But as I said to Stuart before, if you're rinsing out a milk bottle, always empty that onto the garden because the milk is also good for the garden.
Well, you sound like me.
So they're all good for all plants or just for certain?
The milk tends to have a sort of a calming effect on the soil, I think. I can't think of the correct word, but it's definitely worth doing.
A calming effect on the soil.
It balances it out and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why if you're making cheese, you never waste the whey.
I've been thinking, is it a bit like using soapy water you can on aphids and things that you put it on plants and then
I don't think so.
No.
Probably something we should look up online and see what it says.
Over the summer, leaves are all going crinkly.
Yeah.
On camellia.
Yeah, camellia, that's right. And
I told you what to do, and we got a spray bottle.
Yep.
And off you went.
Let's use soapy water on
it, yeah. Yeah, just sprayed it underneath. You've got to get underneath.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yep. Underneath the leaves.
So it was some insects or something that were.
Yeah, the little
aphids.
White aphids. And the ants were coming up and getting their aphids and.
Oh yeah. No.
Sooty mould.
Sooty mould.
So it's all healthy.
It's good.
Yeah. I got lots of figs on my fig tree, but I don't know if they'll ripen in time this summer.
So have we. Yeah.
So have we.
The little birds are just starting to get at them, especially when they're.
Are they ripening yet? Yeah, he was ripening.
Some of them are.
I've got a couple of figs in pots, but they haven't got fruit on this year. But those actually the red fleshed one.
And you go to Hawke's Bay and they just have fig trees and with delicious fruit.
Yeah. He says, where they do it well with climate change, then we'll be all right in a few years. We just need that bit more warmth and sun for a bit longer. I have had ripe figs off the tree, which is very nice.
The birds beat us to it. We've got about a 30 foot high tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Above the garage. And
well, you wouldn't be climbing up that anyway.
No way in the world. That's the annoying part about it. But I tell you, I've come across a good idea where if you've got the old CDs, you tie a piece of string to it and then tie it to the branches. And when the sun glistens on it, it does. I did that to the plum tree.
We've got good plum jam, and we'll get fig jam.
Let them flick but around.
The season has been a little odd, whether it needs more water to plump up the figs.
I think it's a lack of water. The fruit is a little bit dry in parts.
Okay.
Do you get lorikeets in town?
No.
Every year. A flock of lorikeets just descend on all the fruit trees and strum. Mm.
Well, we don't in our yard, but we do have the little finches coming in now. Mm. You know, they're green and with a red breast and that, and they're so cute. And they're sort of going to the top of the fig tree now as well. The blackbirds get shooed away by these.
The little birds are the bosses. The little birds are definitely the bosses.
Yeah, and they've got a very, very fine beak, and they can get into the not so ripe figs, and that's how they hit them. But I can't get up there. I must do a little bit of trimming.
Well, we need to borrow a kitty.
Yeah.
We need a cat. That's
But do they kill the birds?
No, but they certainly
scare them away.
They just keep them away. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Birds don't like cats.
Well, I suppose that's the issue. Would you rather have birds, or you want to save your fruit, do you?
Save the fruit, or the cats use your garden as a litter bin.
Oh, I don't mind that. Why, our cats are trained indoors. They don't want their bodies dirty.
Maybe that's if you've got your own cat, you see, that might keep the others away. If you don't have a cat, then
that's the problem, yes.
Do you think the way technology is these days, where the young people, they're not interested in gardening or vegetables and things?
Probably depends on home environment and stuff. Like with a lot of things, kids might be interested in music and singing in a musical home and all that sort.
No, I think they are interested in growing their a little pot of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my granddaughter grew tomatoes. They had a competition, I think it was through the school, and they sourced tomato seeds, and so she got second biggest tomato and the tastiest tomato.
Goodness me.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
When she was 8, yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and she's liking cooking as well.
That's because that's something that seems to be dropping off these days, isn't it? The idea of cooking.
I think perhaps my grandchildren are just different, but with my son's kids, the both grandmothers are very keen cooks.
So they pick up through that. Mm. Yeah, but that's it, I suppose, in a lot of homes now. People aren't doing much cooking at home.
Yeah, fast foods, a lot of them. Mm.
And a lot of the stuff you get, these ideas, you get a jar of the veg and some spice and you just pour it into a pot and heat it up. And
have you noticed in gardens the change that there has been with the bird and insect population? We don't seem to get the variety of butterflies, insects, birds. When I was young, sparrows just were everywhere, and I hardly see one.
You're in the country.
Yeah.
There's lots of sparrows.
Well, I think I have birds, and I don't have a dog any longer, but I have a couple of dog bowls still, and that's where I put the scraps out for the birds. Yeah. And I can see sometimes the birds are lining up on the fence waiting for me to put something out for them.
Yeah. Mm. When I put some seeds out in the bird feeder, I just got loads and loads of sparrows there. So I actually stopped, you know, this is, it's, you're giving them so much of an edge over other birds. So
Perhaps there's been a shift.
You're in the country, you see.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. As young, the garden would be humming with insects, flocks of birds.
Well, I probably see most days, at least I'll see monarch butterflies, bumblebees, or ornery bees.
I wonder if town environment, a bit like foxes and bears have now been going urban in some countries, perhaps that's the same with birds and insects.
Perhaps it's the time of the year as well. You know, between summer and autumn, it's a funny time, isn't it, for a lot of things. White butterflies are coming in and droves to our backyard.
Yeah, we get lots of cicadas, we're hearing.
I can hear them.
I know some people can't hear them, but they're still there. Yes.
I love seeing the cicada cases on the fence where the grubs crawled up and hatched. I think I always think they look so interesting. I can't think of a better word, but and I've seen little kids absolutely holding them in their hands
and thinking, look at the shells, they're so light.
Yeah.
And you get the sparrows around. I haven't noticed many sparrows around lately. Blackbirds, they're starting to sort of come around now, mainly for the figs. But the little finches, they're coming in their droves at the moment.
Yeah, white size, do you get?
Yeah.
Fantails?
Silver eyes or whatever you call it.
Yeah, silver eye, white size.
Fantails. We do get fantails, but only at certain times. They're lovely, they're too friendly.
They're friendly, all right. Gosh, it's, that far away sort of thing.
Yeah. And starlings and thrushes and things.
The odd Tui comes in and bullies his way around. And
I get Tui's just playing in there because the bottle brush on the border, so I get quite a few.
Yeah, the Tui's come around, especially at mating time. They sort of hang around this big, enormous tree, which is on our boundary. It's not ours, but it's
a beech.
It's a beech, it's a huge thing.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.